Yeah, let's turn to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, "You three come out of the tent of meeting." So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent, and he called Aaron and Miriam. When they had both come forward, he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" Amen. Now, most of us that have been around at SP, we're quite familiar with Numbers 12, but it begs to go over it again. You know, again, we're talking about hearing God's voice. You know, we're talking about, you know, being a person of revelation, being the kind of person that God speaks to, right? You know, there's if you haven't figured it out, there's certain types of people that it just seems that just God speaks to them more. You know, and I don't necessarily know if the case, you know, is does God speak to them more or do they listen better? I don't know. You know, it's one of those chicken and egg kind of stuff. But there seems to be certain characteristics in a believer's life or character traits or disciplines or something in that way that creates a space, you know, where they receive more of God's words. You know, and in the scriptures, and I would say probably across the board, outside of Jesus Christ, probably the greatest person of revelation was Moses. You know, he enjoyed just incredible favor with the Lord, you know, in a way that, you know, like he says here, God spoke to him face to face. You know, throughout Exodus, you see these passages where God Himself comes down, and I mean, it's an incredible face to face encounter, you know, with the Almighty. And so we come to this thing, and Numbers 12 gives us a glimpse, you know, of one of a certain characteristic that is a necessity to hear from God, and number two, also dealing with the mystery of the prophetic. Okay, so let's do the first one very easily. One. Okay, why would God speak to Moses in such a real, revelatory, you know, profound way? You know, it says, you know, that he speaks to them face to face, not in dreams, not in visions, you know, not in dark sayings, but face to face. That's how that's how clear the revelation is, right, or God's voice. But the key in understanding why Moses, you know, yesterday we talked about why Samuel, the key in understanding why Moses goes all the way up to verse 3, right? In verse 3 it says, Moses was the humblest man on the face of the earth. You know, and this is actually even more striking for us to grasp, is that the guy who wrote this was actually Moses himself. You know, and so, I mean, if you can imagine, how humble do you really have to be to say that you're the most humble? You know, it's hard to wrap our brain around it, right? You know, I mean, how really, truly, truly humble do you have to be, you know, that you call yourself the humblest man on the face of the earth? I mean, that's like humility beyond comprehension, you know? Because, you know, in the Torah, the first five books that is, you know, is written by Moses, well, you know, what's happening is that, you know, he's in this space with God. You know what I mean? He's you know, in communion with the Father. And in the place of communion, God is speaking to him, you know, through the Spirit of what to write down as a history of his people. right? And so I don't believe it's holy dictation, right? You know, I believe it's inspiration, which is, there's a bit of a difference. And so he's inspired and he's writing, and in the midst of his writing, in the midst of his downloading, you know, from God, and he's writing all these things out, Genesis, Exodus, you know, Leviticus, then he gets to Numbers, you know, and in the midst of writing these things down, you know, he has him write about a situation that happened with him and his family, right? So it's actually a private matter, you know. They were, his, you know, Aaron and Miriam, they were upset with Moses because he had married a Cushite. Cushite would be considered, back then it would be an Egyptian, you know. And so he married an Egyptian, and it's not, the Egyptian is actually talking about, you know, Africa, right? So she probably was a dark-skinned person, right? You know, and so marries a dark-skinned person, a Cushite, and then, so these guys rebel against him and say all kinds of stuff, and then God says, Moses, I want you to write this down, that you're the humblest man on the face of the earth, right? And, I don't know how your Bibles read it, but mine actually has that in parentheses. You know, I think Moses had a hard time writing that down. That was the little part of his pride, right? Because remember, you know, humility is agreeing with God, right? If God says it, you agree with it, that's walking in humility. And so he writes, this is the humblest man. There's something about that. You know, if we were here and if I were to stand up here and says, you know what, I just want you guys to know that I'm the humblest man on the face of the earth, right? Number one, you know that that's a lie, right? You know, and by the way, let me give you a little insight, okay? Be careful of saying, like, best in the world, you know, or, you know, like, this is the best church in the world, or this is the best worship team in the world. I mean, in terms of in the Christianese sense, right? Be careful when you say those kind of statements, because in a way, you're actually saying that you're God, right? I know that seems like a stretch, but it's true. That's basically saying that you have the gift of omniscience and you know every church in the world, and through, you know, knowing every church in the world, that you have keen insight that only, you know, is outside of this world. And so because, and through your incredible judgment, that this is the best, right? And so be careful of statements that you make like that, you know, because you could very well be saying that you're God, right? And so, you know, that's a whole nother issue, another matter and things. And when you know, and he says he's the humblest man on the face of the earth. The only reason he said that is because God told him he was, right? Otherwise, there's no way he knows every man on this earth, and there's no way that he could know, you know, the inward humility of every man on this earth. And so God dictates to him in that way, you know. And this is precisely why he's the greatest person of revelation outside of Jesus Christ. There's something about humility. Right, there's something about being humble, you know. There's something so spiritually profound, you know, about someone that always gives the credit to the Lord, you know, and not just on an outward appearance. I'm talking about deep in the heart. You know, the humility is a sign of incredible growth in character, right? It's a sign of spiritual maturity. You know, it's a sign that God's hand has been on this individual. It's also probably a sign that the person has a lot of scars. You know, in other words, that there has been dealings with the Lord, you know, in their life. You know, it's probably a sign of, you know, like in Moses' case, of some guy that spent 40 years in the wilderness, you know, on the backside of the desert, right? It's a sign that people went through the desert, you know, that we've been talking about those last few weeks. There's something about that, you know. It's a sign of intense character, you know, formation, you know, spiritual formation in someone's life. To be genuinely humble, that's why he was the greatest man of revelation, you know. And as we want to hear from God, and as we want to be prophetic people, and, you know, as we want to be people that get to download from God, and God gets to speak to us, you know, frequently, regularly, correctly, precisely, you know, and we are able to minister to others in that same way, it requires an incredible sense of humility, you know, and humility not in knocking ourselves down, you know, but humility in understanding that we are a child of God, you know, that we are unworthy, but we're not worthless, you know, that we don't deserve anything that we get, but at the same time that we're not trash. You know, that God has got a purpose in mind for us, right? And so that's why he was the greatest man of revelation. He was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Okay, so that's that part. That's easy to deal with, right? And so easy thing to do is you just watch your humility, right? You just always check your heart. You know, the other thing is, when we talk about the prophetic, and this is the other frustrating part, right? He says there, he says, if there is a prophet among you, right? You know, and so now he's talking about prophetic people, right? If you're a prophet, he says, this is what he's going to do. He says, he'll speak to us in a vision. He'll speak to us in a dream, right? And then he'll speak to us in dark sayings, right? Again, you know, that seems so unfair, but that's the nature of the prophetic. There is a sense of mystery, right? You know, and so, I mean, it wouldn't it be so clear if God just spoke to us so clearly? You know what I mean? You know, like, you're praying for something, right? And, you know, God would just give you someone's name, right? You know, or like, you know, tell you where you should go for your job, or, you know, I mean, it'd be nice if it was so clear that way. But for some reason, God has chosen, you know, not necessarily to operate in that way. And I believe I have a little insight. I mean, not much, just a little insight. But the dreams and visions and dark sayings, what it causes us to do, it causes us to go deeper, right? It causes us to really walk in intimacy with the Lord, right? And more than anything else, it actually causes us to learn His language, right? You know, whenever you really like someone, or or you're learning a new thing and you want to master it, the first thing you got to do is you got to master the language, right? You know, a lot of you guys, you know, are in the finance industry. You got to master the language of finance, you know, in order to really grasp and understand. And I think a lot of times what happens is that God has us to come and master His language. You know, the way that he thinks, the way that he moves, you know, the way that he does certain things, you know, and it brings us to the place of intimacy, right, of a real dependence on God. And it also opens the door for faith. Remember, right, faith is involved in every element of our spiritual life, or it should be involved in every element of our spiritual life. You know, and the dreams and visions and dark sayings, it creates a portal, you know, by which we can operate in faith. You know, I mean, it still seems a bit unfair, you know, but as we grow, things become clear as you understand His language, as you begin to step out in faith. You know, there seems to be something about that, okay? So let's close our eyes today. As we are seeking to be men and women of revelation, the simple way of putting it is to be a type of person that God speaks to. Right? Humility. It would probably do us a pretty good service if at some point, you know, in your study of the scriptures, right, that you went online or something and you found every scripture in the Bible that talks about humility. You know, just go on online. Go to a Strong's Concordance and just type the word humility or humble or meekness, or, you know, depending on what translation you use, and just begin to go through all the scriptures. Says the proud He sees from afar, but He gives grace to the humble. A greater grace, James talks about. Proverbs is full of wise sayings about humility. If you want to be a person of revelation, you have to learn to humble yourself. And as Jisun leads us in a song, let's just go before the Lord.
Here I'm waiting. Jesus more and more. Come live in me. Come live in me all my life. Take over.
Let's pray for ourselves, for our community. Let's pray that we would be humble. Right? The biblical prerogative says, humble yourself. In other words, God has put a mechanism inside of us that brings us to the place of humility. It's much better if you humble yourself than having God or your circumstances humble you. And so let's spend this time this morning in just humbling ourselves. If there is things in your life that you sense pride in, crucify your flesh. If there are things in your life that you want to take credit for, crucify your flesh. Humble yourself. And the other flip side, if there is things that you're blaming yourself for over and over again, or low self-esteem, or poor self-image, or all these things, humble yourself and begin to see yourself as a child of God. Let's do that today, this morning. Let's pray for a humble church. Let's pray for a people of God that really, really walks in humility as a body. That we embody the fullness of the character of Christ in all that we do. In the way that we handle our funds. In the way that we minister to people. In the way that we minister throughout the world. Right? Let grace and humility be our standard as a church. You know, and part of that humility is really, you know, having meaningful relationships with one another where we humble ourselves before each other. And let's go before the Lord and let's cry out to God for a humble church. Thank you. Let's pray over our house churches that are meeting tonight. Causeway Bay, McDonald Road, Tregunthar, and Kowloon. Let's ask the Lord to bless our leaders and that we'd have real significant times of ministry and just connection tonight in each of these house churches. So let's pray. Our mission focus, let's pray for China. Let's ask God to come and just blow his wind on this massive country. Let's pray for our Beijing church plant, that the favor of the Lord will be upon the group as they go and seek the purposes of God in that place. Let's pray that God would just even prepare people to be a part of this community of grace and outreach, and just for his hand to be upon this endeavor. Let's pray for the Chung family. Actually, Jane is coming to Hong Kong today, and pray that the boys will not miss her too much. She's actually coming to take care of our family, take care of my wife specifically, during the birth of our baby. And so let's just cover the family and their ministry. And I think John just came back from a trip. And let's pray for the boys. Let's pray for the Chungs, for Matt and Nate's parents, and ask God to continue to strengthen them and continue to teach them to pray. And the purposes of God will be established through their lives. Let's pray for the home in Chichihar for the kids, and that they will continue to grow strong and favor with God, favor with man, grow healthy, you know, socially, and just the grace will be over their lives. And I know that Pastor Jimmy and face-to-face is in China right now as well, and Janice and Bonnie and a few others. And so let's just really pray for covering and protection as they continue to minister effectively in China. And so let's just lift up our friends that are ministering out there in the country.